You are now experiencing the teaching ministry of Pastor Richard Martin of Life Community Church, located in Arlington, Texas.
I don't want to waste your time because I want to get right into it. And the Lord has been sharing some things with me in regards to us. And I, you know, for those of you who know me, I am sometimes, Brother Shannon, I'm sometimes not as postured at the pulpit as some people like pastors to be. I pretty much like to tell it like it is. And then I like to tell it like God says it is. And my goal is that we all together will walk out of here knowing what God has said and what he can expect from us because he said it. And then to do what he says to do, not just today, but throughout the course of the remainder of the week that he has planned for us, so that when we come back with a testimony on how powerful God's word was for us. Can someone say amen to that? So today, we win. Today, we win. I don't have any idea of what yesterday was for you. And you may not have felt like a winner, but yesterday you had already won. So we can't talk about that. You didn't know. Maybe you didn't recognize that you won, but yesterday you won. I can't talk about Friday. I don't know what happened Friday. I can sit here to say maybe you had a bad day. I would be lying to you if I told you Friday maybe you had a bad day because, no, you won Friday. You won Friday. And every day that you wake up as a child of God, if you're serious about being a child of God, we're going to talk about that. Every day is a win. Waiting. Did y'all catch that? Every day is a win. Waiting. Oh, light bulb. I mean, we won. But we're looking at, and we're anticipating a manifestation, right? That's the big church word that means I'm waiting for it to show up, Pastor. I'm waiting for it to line up with what it is that I feel and that I know and that I've been praying. Is anybody with me? I'm just waiting for the wind that's waiting. See, I believe this with all my heart that God, in all of that we've been hearing and God has been ministering to us, it's. Our minds have to change to where we have to begin to recognize that we're not waiting on God to do something for us. God is actually waiting for us to receive what he's already done. We gotta change. So there's a win waiting for you. But there's something you and I need to do in order to access and to receive and to walk in the win that already exists. Every day. Look at your neighbor, tell him, every day you win. I don't feel like a winner. I don't feel like it. I don't care. I'm telling you from what I know, sometimes I don't feel like a winner. But that doesn't mean that I'm not a winner. And that doesn't mean that my circumstance and situation that looks so bad and looks so bleak, it doesn't mean it has absolutely no bearing on what God has said. And you and I, we have to grasp, as Pastor Petrie told us, we have to grasp what is bottled up inside of us. Y'all ready for the word? I'm trying to get y'all excited because this, you can't, today's word, you thought last week was good. Today's word is now put into practice. What you learned last week. If you hadn't had an opportunity to put it into practice, today is the day that you're going to get some tools. Is that all right? Yes. Turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16. We want to bring it up on screen, if we can, ladies, in the new American translation. New standard, whatever. Y'all know what I'm talking about. The NASB? Yeah. New American Standard. All right. Do you not know? Do you not know? Let me read it with inflection. Do you not know that you are, say you are, say I am, a temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you. Verse 17, ladies. Okay, that's not verse 17. So I'll read verse 17 while they're trying to get that up. And it says this. If any man. If who?
Any man.
Praise God. Destroys the temple of God. Who you are. God will. See, I'm not playing language. God will destroy him. For the temple of God is holy. And that is what you are. Title of my message today is, and that is what you are. We're in a series of sorts called You Are. And I want to start off with this text of scripture that speaks about us, the temple of God. And the whole premise of God dwelling, residing, abiding, living in us means that it means and it gives the connotation, as we learned last week, that wherever we go, God is. That's wherever we are, God is there. Whatever we do, the presence of God is in that place because he is in us. It was never God's intention, when we read the Old Testament, it was never God's intention that man would build a physical edifice. Wait, you have to stand like this when you say that. All right, you got it? All right. It was not God's intention ever for his presence manifest on earth to be limited to a building. When they built the temple for him, they were doing it in honor of God, and it was wonderful, and God allowed it, but it was never his goal and his intention to be limited or his presence to have to be manifest in one singular place where people had to come, per se, to feel him and to sense him. His goal ever was to be wherever men were. Did you notice that? At the very beginning in creating Adam, that there was a point in time, scripture says that he would come. Who? God. God would come in the cool of the evening. God would come, and wherever Adam was, there was God. Did y'all catch that? God never said, well, I want you to build this place for me. I'm going to show up there, and you, wherever you are, go to that place. No, wherever Adam was, there was God looking for him, wanting to be where he was. And now because of Jesus, how many of y'all were here last week? Raise your hand, let me see. All right, those of you who weren't here, make sure y'all get the CD. Make sure y'all get the CD. That was a launching point. But the whole premise was that God, through Christ, now he restored our relationship. Jesus Christ restored our relationship with God so that now God the Father would never be limited to a place where we would have to go in order to experience him. Jesus was the first of many brethren, and each of us now being brethren, what Jesus was able to do, he embodied the Spirit of God through him, through his shed blood, and through our accepting what he did. Now we embody the Spirit of God. If you are in Christ, you're a new creature. Hello. So see, we have to begin again to change our thinking and change our minds. It's not about your membership in a church. It's not about the fact that, oh, I go to church. I hear this so many times. When people finally recognize or it just comes out that I'm a pastor, automatically people are like, well, I'm going to go to church. And I'm like, okay. It's not a bad thing to do. But the mindset and the thought is, well, when I go there, I will hopefully experience God, and that will help me to change my ways. And what we all have to learn is that the whole premise of us gathering together, it's about testimony. It's about teaching. It's about equipping so that when we leave this place where the action is, that the temple of God, who you are, that you would begin to manifest. Big word, that basically means that you will allow the Spirit of God to show up where you need God to show up. Now, the question that you had to ask yourself, like I have to ask myself, is, where do I need God to show up? Where do I need the manifestation of God? Because you have to understand that when God shows up, everything changes. Let me be more specific. When God shows up, everything changes. Now let me be real specific here. When God shows up, everything changes. And I'm saying that because if you are a child of God, if you are a child of God and you embody the Spirit of God, which the scripture clearly tells us, then when you're dealing with something that is not of God, it has to change. It has to change. Why? Because if it's not of God, God is intolerant. Is that a word? He is intolerant. He is unaccepting of anything less than the best. We read the scripture. Please go back for a minute and bring up the scripture, Glaze. I appreciate y'all. I know Pastor Fred told y'all to do this, but I phrases are wonderful. I want the word. Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? Verse 17. This is, and if any man destroys the temple of God, God will destroy him. For the temple of God is what?
Holy.
Holy. Many times when we read the scripture, we kind of focus on the fact that we're the temple. But really, what you are is you're holy. Oh my God, y'all not catching that. What you are, with the indwelling of the Spirit of God in you, you are holy. Look at your neighbor and tell her, you are holy. You are holy. What does that mean? What does that mean? That means that there are things that you just can't do. There are places that if God doesn't lead you, you just can't go. There are people that you might be in family members or whatever, but there are just people that you can't make connections with because God in you. If they come into your presence, they have to change. Now you hear what I'm saying. Now, that means that the level of influence that you have, just showing up, ought to cause people a level of uncomfortability because the Spirit, according to the Word of God, teaches us that His job, not your job, is to convict. To convict those that are not of God, to convict them of sin. That the things that they're doing, you don't have to say a word. Just showing up. Has anybody ever experienced that before? You just show up in a place and all of a sudden people are talking crazy and you heard it, but then you show up and they just stop talking. That just the conversation goes right to God. Well, you know, I was in church 4 weeks ago and I don't remember what he said, but it was good. Anybody? What I'm giving and what I'm expressing is that our minds need to change to understand. See, because the world right now and the way the enemy has the world, he's got the world thinking that anything that you and I do, everything that you and I do, it's about blaming people. It's about convicting people. It's about judging people. And us in our ignorance, we've allowed people to cause us to feel like anytime we say something, we're judging you. And it's gotten so bad that when we have come to the place of training and teaching that we can't talk to each other. Now, why? Because anytime we say something to somebody, we're judging them. I'm trying, sister. I'm trying. Because I want us to grow up out of this mindset that we've allowed the world to convince us that the power that resides in us that causes people to have to deal with their sin, that we've dumbed it down to say, well, I love you. I don't want to judge you, so I don't say anything to you. And we put the, y'all know how he, I'm going to use it too. I don't want to. So what happens? Now you can't. Now, the power of God, the only thing that can change you now, nothing is affecting you. What do you care about what's in me if it can't come out? What do you care about my confession? What do you care about me going to church? What do you care about me even saying that I'm a Christian if the power that resides in me can't come out? Not because God is not wanting to, but because I am. I am. I am. Remember, we heard a song, I believe it's Israel. Take the limits off. Take the limits off. Take the limits off. We're saying that to God, and God is saying to you, take the limits off. Take the limits off. Change your mind about who you are and what you're there for. You are a temple. And everywhere you go, I go. And where I go, if I'm there, and if it's not of me, it's got to change. Wow, wow. Okay, we're going to fight today, huh? We're going to fight about this one today, huh? See, so you and I, we're in a place now of decision. See, because I started out by saying, we win. Every day I win. Every day. And I got an attitude about it now. Guys, y'all know, life right now is very challenging. There are things that are happening that are bold-faced saying, where are the children of God? There are things in life that are declaring to us, you're not going to make it. You're not going to ever be right. You are not going to get that victory. Your children are not going to come out. All of these things are speaking to us. And God is saying, will you please take the cap? I'm here. Just take the cap off. Just release me. Release me and let me do what I do through you. They're not really excited, Brother Shannon. But I'm excited. Because I need God. I need his presence. Because all he got to do, he's just got to be there. See, we've been praying, God, do this, God, do that. And God is like, I hear you, but you're limiting me because you're acting not like a temple that carries me, but you're acting, how do I say, you are acting like a prison. You're not acting like a temple that carries my presence where I can go where I want and do what I... You're not acting like my house. You're acting like a prison. And I'm locked up and I'm locked away. And you only let me out when there's sunlight. You only let me out for an hour during church. Oh, I'm preaching now. I didn't even get to the notes. Y'all got to hear what I'm telling you. You only let me out during an hour. And then when that hour is up, you put me back in the cage. And God is saying, I'm tired of being locked up. I'm tired of being locked up. He says, if any man, and see, we think he's talking about outward people. It might be us. If you're messing around with that temple, God is like, I'm going to mess around with you. You destroy this temple. You destroy the purpose of this temple. I got to do something about you because I will not be limited anymore. I will not be locked up anymore, says the Lord of hosts. I am expecting those of you who's called me by name to act like you know who I am and what I'm able to do. How many of you know what God is able to do? We sing, oh, God is able. God is able to do what? Real talk, he's able to do what? He's able to do whatever he wants to do when you allow him to. Now, this sounds weird when we allow him to, Pastor. Yeah, because you know what? God has established, he has reestablished. Jesus said this, when he rose from the grave, he said, all authority has been given to me. And then he spoke to his present day disciples and said, and I give now all of that, which I now possess, to you. You ask the Father anything in my name, what did he say? You'll have it. So somebody lying when somebody says, that can't happen. I don't know. If that can happen, I don't know if there's a possibility of that. Somebody not telling the truth. And we as children of God, we have to have to get our minds wrapped around this whole concept that we embody the Spirit of God, and he's all about truth. But not the way that you and I think about it. All right, I'm going to get to these notes. Is that all right for just a second? And I don't blame me if we get away from this. But if I can say this first point to this scripture, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. I'm going to read it in the New King James Version. Y'all can follow it on screen if the ladies bring it up, but we're going to move. And it says this: now thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumph in Christ, and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. Excuse me. Is that up? Thank you, ladies. Now, thanks be to God who what? Y'all know how to read? All right, let's read. Now, thanks be to God who... Stop. Who always... When?
Always.
Who always leads us in triumph in and diffuses. That diffuses means that it wherever you go, it everybody's affected. Anybody ever been around somebody who just put on way too much cologne? Way too much. It's like they brought the bath with them. That, you ever been around a person like that? They didn't even come in the room, but you knew it was them. You have just been diffused. Y'all didn't catch that. That they had saturated themselves so much with that fragrance that they didn't even have to show up. You knew because their sister said it, their presence was just around, that you knew it was them. And then hours after they left. Catch my illustration. Hours after they left, the fragrance still lingered, reminding you, oh yeah, Sister Such and Such was here. This is what the scripture is speaking about, that the presence of God, we're so saturated that before you even show up at work, I know this is, we getting all church, people already, you launched off into some other, but this is the word. This is what he's saying that we are able to do. This is what he's saying that he expects us to do in order for people to know that he is who he says he is. That before we even get there, there's an atmospheric change that, remember, did anybody experience this storm this past week? Right? Right, and I'm not talking about some of the after effects of it, which is not good for some people, but still they won.
Yes.
And if that you were affected about it by it, you won too. But I don't know if you know, but I was outside when it began to hit, and now it was warm and it was sunny. But then all of a sudden, the atmosphere changed. It just there was a shift. I mean, I don't know if you, I mean, you could just tell. I didn't need the news to tell me something's going on up there. I could see some things, but I could smell, I could sense that something's changed here. And the Lord would say to you and I, is like, that's the kind of presence that I want you to have. That when people are, they're just dealing with the normal every day, that you know that you have saturated yourself so much that people just, ooh, something is different here. Something, listen, and we know it's real. We know it's real. Why? Because when we come in with nasty, old, dirty, crappy attitudes, people don't even got to say nothing to you. They know. They already know something wrong with you. You got to look at the way, you ain't said nothing to nobody, you minding your business, but you're just not having a good day, and people just know it. You just put off that, watch this, that fragrance. It's nasty. It's like, don't talk to me, don't even, if you say the wrong, Mind you, you're not saying that, but people can sense that. And the Lord would say that, but that's a counterfeit of what it is that I really want you as a human being on this planet to do. I don't need your fragrance. Your fragrance, the chemicals that you put together to make your fragrance, it's not good. The stuff that I put together for people to accept sometimes, it's not good. But when I saturate myself with God's word, I am able to change where I am and what's going on around me, and people can sense something is different. Something is different. Listen to me. This is either you do or you don't do. This is not going to be one of those happenstances where, per se, you get to feel good about the word that's going forth. I am going to have to make an effort to practice what God says I am. You are a temple of God. You carry his fragrance, and you are called to diffuse the very, what does the scripture say? You ladies, bring it back up, please. Y'all just going off today. Like, we got pictures, Pastor. We got pictures for you. That you, through us, diffuses the fragrance of what? His knowledge in every place. Which means that as ones that are holy, where are you bringing God? Now, see, somebody's like, every place. And you bringing the knowledge of God in that bed? Did he say that? Yeah, I did. I'm saying, if you're going to, if you're in Christ, you're a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, some things. This one little area here. No, all things have. Reading further in that scripture, you and I have been given the ministry of reconciliation, calling people to come back to God. How are we doing that? By diffusing the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. Which means I can't do that every place. Because there's some places that I'm not supposed to be. And there's some things that I'm not supposed to be doing. Not because God said I'm not supposed to do it, but because I recognize who I am. Who are you? I'm a temple of God. I carry the very present spirit of God in me everywhere. Where I am, there he is. I'm trying, Lord. So the first thing that we need to understand in regards to this text of scripture, let me give you some context why Paul says this the way he says this to the Corinthians, because they recognize things visually. They recognize things visually. And so as he's speaking about this aspect, now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ. Now Paul's going through some stuff, people going through some stuff, that they're having some challenges or whatever, and he wants to encourage them. He's encouraging them. So he gives them this illustration in regards to a conqueror, a warlord. The whole premise of a warlord, when returning back to his place of residence, his city, what there would be was this procession that he would have. This procession as a warlord. He's coming back in victory. And now there are people that are following him in this procession. These people are captives. They're captives or ex-captives. The captives are the ones that he went and fought against, and he had total victory over them. Now he is now displaying them and saying, look what I did. Yes. That sound familiar, huh? He's preceding them in triumph. He's walking and he's saying, look who I beat. Look who I brought with me that I kicked his tail. Look what I did to this. And they're all walking captive and leading up into the day of celebration, where those individuals who were the enemy will ultimately be destroyed or killed, executed, put on full display to say, you're done. They have to walk in this procession of triumph. They have to walk. They have to walk in the procession of triumph. They don't get to hide. They're not put away. They are on full display to be executed. I want y'all to just hold that for a minute. The second people that are captive are non-captives, are individuals who had been released from the enemy. And they too walk with the warlord in triumph with him, saying, "We are free. We are free. Praise God Almighty, we are free." Okay, sorry. But they walk with him to declare and to represent fragrance, because they have been given these urns where they're walking and they're declaring, "He freed us." You smell that smell? You see what I'm displaying? It was him. I'm saying and declaring, it was him who freed me from them. I'm here free. They are not. I'm here free from this. That's about to be destroyed. And they're walking and they're in triumph. And they're saying, it was him who did this. It was him who made me free. It was him. And everywhere I go, because they're holding the incense, that incense smell is getting on them. So that when they leave the procession, people know you were part of that procession. He freed you. You are not like me where you are already here. You are captive, but he set you free. Watch this. And then in their job, with their job, those that were set free was then to explain. And let me tell you how he did it. Oh, you're not hearing what I'm saying to you. They were to declare how the warlord came in and how he was able to rescue them and the situation that they were in and the plight that they were in. And even the captive, if they were able to recognize, you see that guy who they're about to execute? He was the one who had me locked down. He used to do so many terrible things to me. But then the hero, he came in. Ooh, and he kicked his butt. He kicked the door open, said, "Come on out." I came on out. And here I am today, a free man. And everywhere they went, they were walking in the triumph of the warlord. Every person that they encountered, they would have to. It would be their honor to declare to the people, "What is that on you?" Well, let me tell you what happened. Let me tell you what happened. Everywhere, what were they doing? They were giving knowledge of how and why they were living that day. They were walking in triumph. Did y'all get that? That where they went, they were declaring to everybody that they encountered the knowledge that they had on how this happened. They were to share it with everyone they encountered, every place that they would go. So Paul uses this illustration to speak about, look, I know things are not looking good on the outside, but do you not understand what Jesus did for us? Do you not understand that in his death, what he did was he caused the enemy to now be walking in this procession, and I'm about to deal with him. Ooh, I'm about to deal with him. And while you're walking with him right now you're walking beside him, he has no power over you. Oh, my God. Okay, I'm going to say it again. There's two captives. There's a captive, and then there's the ones that were captive. And they're walking together in this procession of victory with the one who freed those that are non-captives along with the enemy. The enemy is being led to a place where it's going to come to an end. But in the procession, so what are you saying, Pastor? What I'm saying is right now we win. But we may be walking alongside the enemy, but he doesn't have any power over you. So when you're walking in victory, what you're doing is that when people are seeing you in whatever your circumstances, you can laugh and say, but that's not going to last too long. This is not going to be the way. I mean, I know we're walking together, but he's already established. He's already established what's going to happen to him. So let me laugh right now and celebrate right now and have a good time while I'm walking with him, because soon enough, that's going to come. What's going to come? That addiction, it's going to come to an end. It's going to come to an end. Or that loneliness, it's going to come to an end. Or this struggle, it's going to come to. I know right now I'm walking, but the scripture tells us that this is what we have to do. Even though I see that, I'm walking by faith. I'm walking by faith. I know I sense that, but it doesn't have any more power over me, but it's still here, but I'm walking by faith. I'm walking by faith. The scripture says that the just See, these people, they now were justified to be able to speak and to declare and to walk. Why? Because the winner, the hero had set them free. They could say whatever they wanted to say now. They could move however they wanted to move. They could even look at the circumstance and say, even though you're here right now with me, walking right now with me in this procession, I already won. I already won. You see me? Yeah. Do you see me? You feel me? I'm going to get you. I'm going to go, no, you're not going to get me. You can't have me anymore. You're already a defeated foe. Do you smell what the Lord is cooking? I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Say loud for a minute. Just think about that for a minute. Because you are holy. You are a temple of God. Spirit of God residing in you. And it's leading you in areas of triumph. This is not just this superficial stuff that we have learned in times past. You know, I'm in a situation, I'm in a circumstance, but I have to act like I gotta convince myself that I won. I have to sit here and kind of muster up some kind of hype to make me feel good that, okay, I won. And then the Lord is like, stop, you're lying to yourself. In your heart of hearts, the reason why you feel like you have to muster yourself up is because you really don't believe. Yeah. Where you have to kind of find it in you, but in you, there's nothing. Right. But in and of yourself, there's just nothing. You can't find it. That's why you needed me to fill you so that when you go to find it, you find me. Are y'all feeling what I'm saying? When you go to find it, you find me. And I will remind you by my spirit, I will remind you of the things that I taught you and told you about when you deal with the situation. It's already a done deal. You're walking with it, but you're walking with it, laughing at it, dealing with it from my word to understand that it's going to an execution. I'm going to bring it to a place where it no longer exists anymore. That's the joy of the Lord being my strength. I'm walking in the strength of knowing you've already handled it. We're in a victory walk. We're in a victory procession. They not happy about what's about to happen, but I'm so happy. I'm so happy. And I'm I've won. Now I'm just waiting. Waiting for the win. I've already won. But we're just walking in still here right now. But the Lord is about to bring that thing to an end. He's about to execute that. Do y'all know what execution means? That means once it's dealt with. Now, here's our problem. And I'm going to come for the landing because y'all ready to go, right? Thank you. I appreciate it. Some of y'all was like, well, maybe. Well, maybe. I'm a little hungry. Thank you for your honesty. but our problem is, our challenges have been, myself included, Brother Shannon, come here. Brother Shannon is wearing the right colors too, black and red. You the devil. Come on. Devil is a defeated foe. We're in procession right now, right? We're in procession. We're walking with Jesus. We're walking with Jesus. We're walking with Jesus. You have to walk with Jesus because Jesus is in control. All authority has been given to him, and he says walk. So walk, right? So you and I are walking. Now, mind you, you got a lot to say about what it is that I'm doing. You're lying to me at every moment. As soon as I get out of here, I'm going to kill you. I'm going to find a way to escape, and I'm going to get you. And now, if I'm listening to him, then I'm going to start believing what he's saying. Mind you, because we're still walking. I'm walking in victory. He's walking in the midst of victory, but he's talking. He's talking noise. He's talking a lot of noise. He knows eventually this has got to come to an end, so he's going to go all out to convince me to do this, to walk with him. To walk with him. And wherever he's going, now mind you, this is the victory walk, but his demise is not my demise. But if I walk with him, wherever he's going, there I'm going with him. Don't feel uncomfortable, man. We real men up here. Right? We real men. Ask our wives. We real men. And we've made the mistake of listening to the enemy so much so that even though he knows what his end is going to be in this procession, he has convinced us that what he's saying during the time of our walk, that it's true. That our proximity to him is closer than the proximity that God should be. See, the enemy is walking beside us, around us. It's where God used to be. But now God lives. Now, how much closer do you need God to be in order for him to prove to you that he's God? So, but the enemy convinces us that the aspect of his proximity is more influential than inner proximity. He's a liar, y'all. And he's good at what he does. And we've allowed ourselves to walk by what we see instead of walking by faith in what we know. See, that knowledge, that when you look at that word know in the scripture, it has two connotations. It's the head knowledge, but it's also a reference of intimacy. You still good? You still good? Me holding your hand?
Yes, sir.
Because I'm about to let go of your hand because you're the devil. So get out of here. There you got the idea. See, because the devil's not going to just give up. But I know who I am. And I know that even though we have to walk in, there are times where the hero will allow you to walk beside me, I don't have to like you. Matter of fact, I can make fun of you and let you know you're defeated. Get off of me. Get off of me. In Jesus' name. You see what I'm saying? We walk and he's there, but there's an end. There's going to be an end. That's going to be an end. He'll put on addictions and he'll say, well, you can't do this. You're not going to be able to kick that weed habit. You're not going to be able to. Yes, I am. Yes, I am. The Lord is going to bring that to an end too. Well, you're never going to get married. Yes, I am. If I have a desire and God has put it in me, and if it lines up with his will, it's going to happen in the name of Jesus. Oh, and by the way, you're going to die. You're going to die. You're going to die. Today. See, y'all, I know. Y'all got to walk this, though. Y'all got to walk this. See, because in this procession, it feels like, because he's always there and he hasn't gone away yet, that we start to convince ourselves he's never going to go away. It's never going to happen. I'm always going to have to deal with this. But no, he's a captive now. That means that he has an end coming. Wait. Amen. Okay, go away, devil. Get out of here. Get off me. Thank you, Brother Shannon. I want to lead. So shall I proceed? Yes, we shall proceed. We shall walk by faith, not by sight. Shall I do? You ever experienced this? I'm coming for a landing. You ever experienced this? You're at the shopping center and a little kid is there with their parents, and the little kid just acts a fool. Just, I want that. And, you know, you're saying that as a parent who disciplines their children ever so fervently and diligently. Or your kids are older now, so they see it and they remember. They go back and they go, oh, Lord, mama, daddy, when I was little, you smacked me into next year. I woke up. I was in first grade when I said that. Then I woke up in fourth grade. I don't. But we see them acting out, right? We see the kids acting out. And you know what we do, right? We know that the kid is acting out, but who do we look to? We look at the parent. We're like, right, right? You're trying to be a good Christian. You know, trying not to, your head to move, but you're like, sister, if I was you, why? Because the child is a reflection of that parent. And we as parents, just in the natural, we're not going to go out in public knowing who we are and allow our kids to act out of what we have given them, what we have told them, what we have laid before them and said. I know all of us, if we're good parents in this regard, we're not looking to be abusive or whatever, but we do have to set the boundaries. So when you go out into that world, it's not a nice place, and I need you to conduct yourself A, B, C, D. When we walk in and we're going across the street, you better grab my hand. I better not have to ask. That was my mama. If the sun moves my shadow a little bit and you're not there, it's going to be consequences and repercussions. Right? So you get this instruction. You get all of this on how you are to conduct yourself. And if you step anywhere outside. See, the kids are liking this now. They're like, ooh, I know what he's talking about. You step outside of that. One or two things happen, depending on what kind of parent you are. My mom didn't wait. My mom was the type of mom that said, you embarrass me? Wow, I got all that. Oh, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Y'all better stop. You embarrass me in public? I will embarrass you in public. That was my mama. Y'all get that recorded. That was my mama. You can go find her. She's in the Bronx. Not right now. She's in church. Let her pray first. Then y'all can go talk to her. Anyway, she was not the one. So I knew that if it happened there, it ended there. Y'all feel me? Now, some of us had parents that they had the look. Anybody had those parents? It wouldn't say anything. But if you stepped out of that bound, it was just that. It was an atmospheric change. It's like, where did that cloud come from? Right? Something is going to happen, and I don't know what, but it doesn't feel good. And we had those type of parents. They didn't do anything right now, but everywhere you went from that point on, you just knew that this is not going to be good. And you tried to anybody do this, and you tried to talk to your parents to kind of talk them down. So, mama, what can I help you? Anybody? Can I help you? Yes, you can help me. You just could. You knew. Oh, this is not going to be good. But you knew it was coming. What are you saying, Pastor? What I'm saying is that as our children are a reflection of us, and there's an expectation for them to carry themselves with what? With what we have taught them. Because when they do anything outside of what we taught them, we embarrass them. Right? Our children, it's like they embarrass us. It's like, this is not cool. And, you know, for some of our parents, our modern-day parents, this time out and all these things don't necessarily bring an end to those behaviors. Because watch this, your authority is being questioned. So what happens with us as children of God when God gives us a specific instructions and we don't do it, what he asks us, what we're really doing is we're questioning God's authority. And more importantly, that if we're walking in a procession of victory, we're saying that he actually won. But if we're not acting in accordance to what he says, but here are the boundaries, what we're saying is you didn't really win. And if he didn't really win, that means that I don't win. And if I don't win in this situation, then I might as well just go along with whatever is presenting itself to me. And the devil is a liar. But we have a responsibility because there are some things that God lines up and he says there's a behavior that I'm expecting you to operate in because I'm in you as my child. There is a language that I need you to talk. What language is that? A knowledge of who I am. I need you to walk like you know who I am. I need you to conduct yourself like you know what I can do. I need you to respect and reverence me enough that when it comes to my manifest presence, because really when it gets hard, that's what you want from me, to manifest health, to manifest healing, to manifest finances. You want me to show up in a real sense, and I'm asking you, show up in a real sense. I'm asking you. I'm not going to make you do it, but I'm asking you because if you will not, then I have to begin to, oh Lord Jesus, I have to begin to then destroy the thing that has you convinced that I am not who I say I am. Now listen, he said, if any man destroys what? The temple of God, I will destroy the man. Y'all not feeling what I'm saying to you, right? See, the pressure that when things that we're feeling right now is because we have been, we've been disobedient. No, we've been disrespectful and we've dishonored God in many areas because we've declared, in this area, God, you are not God. In this area, you don't have a victory. Oh, man, Pastor, I would never say that. How are you conducting yourself? See, and you don't need me to judge you. Scripture speaks about, you know, getting to a place of relationship with God where no man, you don't got to worry about a man judging you. No man can judge you. You know, and the world has taken that and said, I can do whatever I want. You can't judge me with what I'm doing. That's not what it means. It means this, is you've gotten to a place of maturity where no man has to judge you on anything because you allow God to judge you and bring to your attention what needs to change and what needs to stop because you don't want to disrespect and dishonor him. No more excuses. No more thinking that you are not able to do something when I'm living in you, having my dwelling in you. You are more than able. You are more than a conqueror. You are born again. You are the head and not the tail. You are above and not beneath. No harmful thing will come your way. But it's like, do you believe that? Yes, Lord, I believe it. Then act like it. Walk like it. Talk like it. When you encounter things that challenge just the very essence of who you are as a believer, listen, the enemy's not going to come with you with the stuff that's easy for you to fluff off. He's going to come with that stuff that he knows that you enjoyed. He's going to come with you with the stuff that he knows that in your flesh is not the attitude that you display. He's going to come at you and say, oh, yeah, they disrespecting you. You need to go off right now. And God will forgive you. And God will forgive you. But God is saying, why do I have to put you over and over again, causing you to have to walk around this same mountain when I've already empowered you to execute right here and right now? When you see it come, kill it. We do it as parents. Well, some of us. Or if we let it linger, we let the child know, oh, but it's coming. Yes. Hello? All right, devil, you might think you have a victory, but I'm letting you know I'm equipping myself more and more. And you wait till I get home. Wherever home is. I'm not talking the physical sense. I'm talking about when I get to a place of confidence and maturity. And I'm going to get there. Ooh, you're going to be in so much. I'm cool now. I'm cool. I'm quiet. I may not be that abrupt. I may not be mature enough to deal with it right here, right now. But I'm going to deal with it. I'm going to deal with you. I'm going to deal with you. Don't even say the whole word. Deal with you. Say, I'm going to deal with you. Don't even finish it. Let him. Y'all, all right. If I have a point, this is my last point. This is the where the rubber meets the road, and then we're going to be done. Y'all ready? Y'all ready? Okay. Yes, Lord. 1 Corinthians 15:46, you can write this down. In the Amplified, it says this: but it is not the spiritual life which came first, but the physical, then the spiritual. In its context, it's speaking about this whole process of maturity. And when we deal with the Word of God, that we've got to understand it. There are analogies and things that we have to grasp in the natural before we can actually understand what's already done in the spiritual. Are y'all feeling me? And so what I'm saying is, according to the Word of God and this other scripture that speaks about us being the temple of the Holy Spirit, in its context, it speaks about sexual sins and how we need to avoid that, because you are a temple of the Holy Ghost, you're a temple of God, and you dishonor him when you use your body in a sexual sense that's outside of his realm. Amen? Y'all with me? So that's the context. But in your body, he says you're sinning against your body. Each and everything that we're dealing with right now, we're waiting for God to do some super spiritual thing in us. And God says, well, first, it's got to manifest in your body. And in other words, you've got to put it together. You've got to make it work where people can actually see it first. Okay, maybe I'm not being clear. That you already have in you all the power to be able to do what God is saying. In order for it to be made manifest, you have to purpose in your body. Offer your body as Romans 12, y'all. Offer your spirit? No. Offer your body as what? Living sacrifice, which is holy and acceptable. And do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your. That's a part of your body. That's a part of your activity here on planet Earth. So what God is saying is, first, in order for you to see it, you got to see it. So see it. I need you to know that I created you in a duality. I've dealt with the one side that you couldn't deal with, which was your spirit. Nothing you could do to rejuvenate or cause your spirit to be reborn. But while you're here, because I didn't just take you to heaven, while you're here, mature that body. Deal with what you're dealing with in the natural and deal with it now. Cause it to make a decision now. I'm not going to be angry. I'm not going to be bitter. It's like Pastor Petrie said last week. Look, we the reason why we hold on to stuff and linger, because we like it. And God is saying, be disciplined enough to stop making excuses about what it is that you're doing. Just be honest enough to say, I like it, but I'm not going to, because I am a temple and I am holy. And is this action a reflection in my body of holiness? It's not about what you're wearing. It ain't about your hair color. It's not about how many earrings you have. It ain't about how many tattoos you have. It's about what's in you coming out of you. My Lord, y'all hearing what I'm saying to you? Is this too much? I'm saying, if we're going to keep it real, let's keep it real. We've been trying to do this backwards. Eventually, God, I'm under construction. And it's in me. I just need to get more word in you. Listen to me. You have more than enough word in you right now to deal with every situation and every circumstance that has come your way to this present. Well, I got to get more Bible reading. No, you've up until this point, you've got enough. You just ain't been applying it. Do you understand that it doesn't matter how old you are or how young you are? That's why we were saying, children being hearing this word, they can apply right now the word of God in their life and have total victory in their lives as children. But you know what happens? We stifle them. We tell them, you're too young. You don't know enough. But little kids get stuff done sometimes. You ever experienced that? Well, they just pray. They start praying and stuff happens. And you're like, what? Why? Because they appropriate the word that they have in them now. And they're wise enough to uncap the bottle and say, well, whatever's in here, it's got to come out. Oh, man, y'all not. You always need the word. You always need to fill yourself with God's word. The more word that you have, the closer you get in relationship to him. But you have enough word in you now to deal with everything up until this point. You have enough in you because the Spirit of God is in you. And he, all, listen, all chaos was going on before the earth was really formed. And there were things that would, four words that God said to change everything. He said, let there be light. And light bead. All the teachers was like, oh my God, I gotta go. Light was. But listen, but light was always. It just hadn't manifest until there was what? A word. So you tell me, with whatever word that you have, you don't think that it is powerful enough to change everything? I think it is. But you, as the scripture says, Mark 11, you and I, we have to believe and not doubt. We have to believe and not doubt. And people are going to treat you crazy. They're going to look at you weird. Because this is a mindset change, but you have to change it to where it's seen. So you're going to do some things that people are not going to quite understand. You're going to do some things with your finances that people are not going to quite understand. My brother shared with me last week when I was feeling a little down about how the giving was. He was like, look, I don't know about them, but I got to a point where I know I wasn't making enough money, whatever, but I couldn't afford not to tithe. I started giving, and if my lights was going to go out, then my lights was going to go out, bro. And I was like, really? You was on it like that? And he was like, hey, if my lights was going to go out, but I was going to give my tithe. And guess what? He said, brother, my lights never went out. I mean, I know people are saying that, but, you know, and I'm real enough to say, you know what? You get to a point where, hey, if my lights go out, my lights go out. And if your lights go out, then praise God. You still win. You still win. See, that's the kind of faith that God is looking for, because it's like, well, if you were able to go through that where your lights were out, then I can trust you enough to trust me enough to make sure that your lights will never go out. And in fact, not only will your lights not go out, but then you'll be in a position to help anybody and everybody that might be dealing with that. Why? Because in the flesh, in your body, people need to know I am God. Amen. Amen. You are a temple of God. You are the dwelling place of the Spirit of God. He dwells in you. You are holy. Temple of God, you are holy. That is what you are. You are a son of the living God. You are born again. You are filled with the Holy Spirit. You are more than a conqueror. You are particular. You're royal. You're God's special person. You are above and not beneath. You are the head and not the tail. Everything that you put your hands to is blessed. You are a do-gooder. You are a lover of God, and you are a lover of your neighbor. You are rich beyond measure. And full of the knowledge to know what to do in every situation, in every circumstance. You are healed from the top of your head to the soles of your feet. And you are, as Christ was to us, a deliverer of men. To be used as a vessel of God to rescue men out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. You are who God has said you are. You are, and I am to walk like I know who who I am. In Jesus' name.
For more information on the teaching ministry of Pastor Rich Martin and Life Community Church, please call us at 817-468-9215 or visit us on the web at www.mylifemycommunity.org.